Hey guys, welcome back to the Wisdom and Stuff podcast. I'm your host, Daryl Boucher, and this is where we cut through the Christianese and tradition-based thoughts that hinder us from the limitless lifestyles that we as actual children of God are designed to walk in. So let's go ahead and dive into the Word and see what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Well, welcome back to Wisdom and Stuff Podcast. This is Daryl Boucher. Praise God. It's a good day. It's a glorious day. And today we're getting into part two of just talking about Mark chapter 4 and the parable of the sower. And I encourage you, you know, go back into the first one. If you didn't get the first one, make sure you go back and listen. Because this is not about just teaching the, you know, this kind of like the same old thing that we hear over and over again. It'd be great if you did hear this over and over again, but this is literally about understanding that the difference between somebody who has the Word of God that is influencing their life and actually the kingdom of God flowing into their lives, and somebody who is going to church, who is reading their Bible, who is hearing, you know, podcasts or teachings or whatever all day long, who's reading the right books, who's doing all these things but not seeing the fruit. The difference is the condition of your heart that the Word is going into, okay? And so, like I said, you can have, he talks about the four different soils. He talks about the wayside soil, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and then the good ground, right? And the wayside soil, I encourage you, go through and read Mark chapter 4, 1 down through verse 20, 25, whatever it is. And he goes through it, and then he explains it. But he says the wayside soil are those people who hear the Word, but then immediately the Word is taken out of them. It's when in the culture, the wayside, you know, was basically, it would be like today, you know, farmers that go out and they have these big fields and they go out and they're just spreading seed. They're sowing seed into the soil, but some of it like kind of hits the rocky parts that haven't been tilled up or even off on maybe to the street, you know, by their farm. That's like the wayside. It has seed on it, but the wind is going to blow it away. Birds are going to come and eat it. You know, it didn't actually go into tilled soil, even though the same seed went out. That's like that's the picture we have of the wayside. The stony ground is, it says that they receive the Word of God with joy, but they only last for a season because they have no root in themselves. And so the soil has too full, there's too much stones in it. And you know, when I talked to Rachel, you know, she grew up on the farm, you know, her dad was a farmer when he was on the earth, and so and I asked her one time, because I didn't grow up in that environment. I'm a city boy, if you want to put it that way, and I didn't grow up, you know, knowing about agriculture really, and so I was just talking to her about the stones, and I was like, well, you know, did you guys have to go and like, you know, get the rocks out of the pasture every year? You know, I mean, not the pasture, but excuse me, out of the fields every year. And she goes, yeah, every year, you know, whatever, before you do different implements, whatever. I don't know all the lingo. I'm pretty ignorant of it, as you can tell. But she said, yeah, every year, you know, she had five brothers and sisters. And so, you know, she'd go, oh yeah, we'd go out, you know, and then we'd pull up rocks that had been tilled up, you know, and we'd make sure that the rocks were out. And because you don't want those rocks in there, the rocks are going to stop the root from growing deep. And so when Jesus is saying that, he's talking to farmers who understand this. You don't want rocks in your soil. Rocks stop the roots. And if there's no roots, then the roots are not very deep. They'll go down for a little tiny bit, but then they hit a rock and they stop growing. And what happens is that those roots don't go down deep enough to actually access the water they're supposed to access, to get deep enough to where they're going to be able to withstand even the wind and stuff. The roots are imperative. They're so crucial to the strength of the plant. Not only do they draw up all the nutrients, but they also keep the soil retention down, you know, so that if the wind comes up, the plants will stay stable, you know, and they'll continue to grow. And so he says, yeah, that's what happens with a stony heart. A stony heart is somebody who receives the Word gladly. I mean, they literally get excited when they hear the Word of God. They're in church and they're not disagreeing. You know, they're not like a wayside person who just goes and immediately forgets the Word and just checked the box and said, yeah, I went to church today. Check. That's not a stony ground person. A stony ground person loves the Word. A stony ground person literally hears the Word and they're like, yeah, that's for me. Praise God, that's for me. You see, that's a stony ground person. But that person, at the end of the day, the the wayside person, the stony ground, and the thorny ground, even though they have different levels of love for the word, all of them have the same fruit. None. All of them have no fruit. Even though they have different levels of investment in the word, different levels of love of the word, different levels of you know, whatever, of relationship with the word, none of them are bearing fruit. So if you're a thorny ground person or a stony ground person, even though you love the word of God, you may as well be a wayside person. You're getting the same fruit out of it, right? And so I know, I mean, it sounds kind of rough, but that's exactly what Jesus is saying. He was going, listen, these three types of soils are bearing zero fruit. Zero fruit. In other words, you know, the stony ground and the thorny ground person, they're both people who love the word. They're not just checking the box. These are people who sincerely love the word. They get excited about the word. They get excited about the promises of God. And so the stony ground person is one who gets excited, and man, they go after it. They're like, man, man, that is the word of God. That is mine. Praise God. And they go after it. But then it says, but they only endure for a time, and they get offended for the word's sake, because tribulations and trials come, things happen, circumstances, you know, shift and don't line up with what they think should happen, and different things happen. So it says they get offended for the word's sake, because it says they have no root in themselves. Their root is not strong enough. They hit a stone. Their roots, their heart still has stone in it, okay? And so that heart has a stone in it. Now that stone is offense. Jesus called himself the rock of offense, right? He's like, listen, I'm the rock of offense. If anyone's going to get offended, they're going to get offended at me. And it's not because he doesn't love them. It's because their pride hit that. Now here's the thing, though, about stony ground, is that we can have rocks of offense where you know, we believe the word of God for a little while, but then when circumstances aren't changing, it's exposing that rock. It's exposing something going, do you really believe God, or are you just trying to find a way for something to work in your life? Do you really believe God, or are you just, you know, trying to do a works mentality or whatever? But there's rocks of offense that are in our life, and it stops the root from growing. And so what's interesting is, you know, when I asked Rachel that question about rocks, I said, now, so you'd go out pretty much like every year and pick up rocks? She goes, yeah, pretty much every year. Now, I think that's interesting that every year they had to go pick up rocks out of the same field that they picked up rocks out of last year, you know, is the same field that the next year they have to go pick up rocks, you know. And so and what's interesting about that is it's not because they missed all the rocks from the year before. It's because the way the earth works, the way the I'm talking about the earth underneath us works, is that there's things constantly coming up to the surface, you know. And so the rocks that may have been 20 feet below us last year are now maybe 2 feet, and so they get turned up as we're you know, those rocks were deeper last year, but there's more rocks this year. You know, and so like Rachel and her siblings, they have to go out and pick up rocks again. It's not because they missed them last year. It's because there's new rocks this year. And so this is the process of the earth. It's constantly exposing the process of our heart is exposing just as we walk through the things of God. It'll expose where we still have a works mentality. It'll expose where we still get offended by people or things. It'll expose where we still have hurts and pains that's usually the biggest areas of offense, is where we got hurt or we have some kind of brokenness in us from things that happened to us growing up. And those were we got offended at the people who did it. We got offended at God. Our biggest offense is usually at God, whether we like to admit it or not. And so there's things that we have to forgive. There's things that we have to get past so that we can have a deeper root in ourselves and we can allow the word of God to grow. Now, that's the stony ground. People who love the word, but they don't last very long when the tribulations come. So they don't deny the word necessarily. They just be like, well, I guess it didn't work for me, so I'm going to go back over to doing this. And or they just kind of put God in a box and say, well, this is how it works in my life. It works this way in my life. That might work for you in your life, but this is how it works in my life. Nah, we're all supposed to have the kingdom of God in our life. We're all supposed to have the heaven on earth. That's how we're supposed to have it, okay? And it's not this type of heaven for you and this type of heaven for me. It's heaven, okay? But if I have a stony heart, I understand. I have had to throw a lot of rocks away over the years. I have had a lot of rocks exposed. I've had a lot of things exposed, and sometimes those rocks, I don't want to wait for circumstances to tell me where there's a rock. I want to allow the Lord to show me these things, okay? Now, but the third thing is, of course, the thorny ground. You know, it says when these are people who you know, they love the word, they bring in the word, and it says, and the it springs up, and then it says, but the distractions of this world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, that's an interesting thing to me, that there's a different stage going on here than stony ground people. Thorny ground people are people who have actually begun to bear fruit, because it says it chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful, which means it's fruitful at one time. It's fruitful for a little while. It's starting to bear fruit a little bit, okay? So you're seeing fruit on the vine. You're seeing fruit on the branch. You're actually seeing fruit in your life from the word. But it says that the cares of this world, that's just the worries, the cares, the weights, these different things, and then the deceitfulness of riches. So let me tell you this right now. That means that the word is beginning to bear fruit, and you're starting to see some abundance in your life. But there's a deceitfulness that if our heart isn't right, we'll get deceived by those things, and we'll start following after those things. It says the cares of this world, which means the worries, the fears, the weights, the things that we think that we have to produce, the things that we think that we have to make sure happen because of our Christianity, because of our spirituality, that will be a thorn. It'll choke the word. And in other words, you can't choke a seed, but you can choke a plant. So this is something that's already got a plant. It's already got a plant that's been bearing fruit. So this is another stage where there's a plant that's been bearing fruit, and now these things come in, they choke the word. They literally cut off the supply from the root through the plant, and now suddenly it becomes unfruitful. That's important to know. This is what a thorny ground thing does. It is that you've begun bearing fruit, you've begun seeing things change, you've begun these things, but the cares of this life, there's distractions that try to get us distracted as to what we spend time on, or what we're even praying into, or how much care we're taking. It doesn't mean we're not compassionate. It means that God, we are not anybody's Lord. We are not anybody's Savior. We are not anybody's God. We are not anybody's supply. And so really good things can get us distracted spiritually. So the cares of this life try to steer us away from our relationship with God himself. And then it says the deceitfulness of riches, and it says, and the lust of other things. There's just other things that come in because we realize that, hey, I'm seeing fruit. And if I do this and this and this and this, I can also have these things. And so you see that lust of other things, they enter and they choke the word. But you see, that's part of our heart. Our heart is now being exposed. So offenses get exposed, and the tendency we will have in our heart to carry the cares of this life, or to get deceived by abundance, or the lust of other things. That's the next stage in these things of our heart that gets exposed as we walk these things out. Now, the cool thing is that these are not just four different hearts, because the next one is the good ground. These are stages of the same heart, four stages of the same heart, right? And so soil can go from being wayside to being good ground, you know, in a very short amount of time. Praise God for that. If you're a wayside person right now, you don't have to stay that way. If you're thorny ground, you have to stay that way. If you're a stony ground, you have to stay that way. But good ground, even says in the good ground, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So there's still growth even in the good ground, getting better at what we do, praise God. Better at actually allowing the word of God to produce what it's supposed to produce. But now, we're talking about the fact that the difference between whether or not the word of God has influence and noticeable impact in our life to where our lifestyle looks different now than it did before. That's really noticeable influence. To where now I'm not doing things I used to do financially and I have more finances, or I'm not doing what I used to do relationally and my relationships are better, and I'm not doing what I used to do in my marriage and my marriage is better, and I'm not doing what I used to do with my kids and my kids are awesome. You know what I'm saying? These are things that are noticeable, where the people in our life, you know what I'm saying? If you drive by, you know, if you're driving in Missouri, like where Rachel's from, and it's summertime, you can drive by crops and you're like, whoa, that crop is bountiful. I mean, it's noticeable when somebody did it right. You know, if you drive by a crop right next to it and it just has little things come out of the ground that look like little weird mutated weirdness, you're like, yeah, that guy didn't do very good. You know, it's noticeable. It's noticeable from somebody who's doing it right, from somebody who's not. And we should be trophies of God's grace to everybody around us. This is not to our, you know, accolade. We do not take credit for these things. We're just signing up for what God said. And he said, your heart is designed to be a portal of heaven and the earth. And those who have the word of God in them and actually hear it with their hearts instead of just their ears. Like I said, my mind is not designed to produce or to put a demand on the Word of God. My mind will not do that. My mind is designed to submit to my heart that is putting a demand on the Word, right? My mind is designed to submit to my heart and do what my heart is telling it to do. Okay, now I'm talking about my intellect and all these different things. Same way with my emotions. My emotions aren't designed to produce the kingdom of God. They're there to manifest the kingdom of God. My mind is there to manifest the kingdom of God. But it's my heart that governs things. Out of the heart proceeds all the issues of life, right? The good man, the good servant, his heart produces good things. And so the Word of God is trying to get into my heart. I have to start listening with my heart. I have to start listening with, and this might take a little while where you're just, you know, before you read the Word, get into prayer and be like, okay, Father, I just allow the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me. This is not about my intellect. It's not about memorizing the Word. It's not even about natural understanding of what's being said or done. It's about my heart taking this in. This is who I am. This is my DNA. This is a love letter of my Father to me, and it's actually telling me who I am. And so anyway, coming into the Word now, the parable of the sower is such a big deal. And realizing, first of all, that we need to take accountability for our heart. It's not our responsibility to change our heart. It is our responsibility to yield our heart to God so He can change our heart. But Jesus pointed these four things out very specifically and clearly for a reason, so we can place ourselves. So we can literally say, oh, I understand that. And here's another thing too, is that you can be, I've noticed this in my own life, where you can be a good ground person in one area of life and a stony ground person in another area of life. I've seen people who, they can receive physical healing like it's just an apple falling off a tree. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've seen people who just receive physical healing. I know this one lady, I remember praying for her. And this happened like three times, I think it was. I'm trying to think if it was two or three times. Let's just say two, just so I don't exaggerate on accident. But anyway, I can think of two specific times, whether there was a third time or not, I don't know. But there's two specific times where this young lady, she comes up, she asked me to pray for her, right? And one of them had to do with her spine. She had been to the chiropractor, and her spine was out of whack. And she said the chiropractor was like, oh yeah, your spine is totally, you might need to have some corrective something like surgery or braces or something because your spine is way, way, way out of whack. And she said it was causing her, her hips were kind of disjointed, you know, things were not right. She was having a lot of pain and stuff like that. So she comes up for prayer. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, I can pray for you. Cool. And so I just prayed for her real quick. I'm like, yeah, praise God, whatever. And so she went on her way, and then this was like the next week. I was talking to somebody at church, and they said, "Oh, did you hear what happened to so and so?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't hear what happened to her. I didn't know what they were even referring to." And they're like, "Oh yeah, her back was out of whack, and she went to and she got prayer. They didn't know that I prayed for her, but they said, "Oh yeah, she came up and she got prayer, and then she went back to the chiropractor, and the chiropractor said, 'I've never seen anything like this. Your back is totally fine. Your spine is totally healed.'" Well, praise God. Now, you understand, she never even told me. She never even came up and said, "Hey, you know what? Thank you for praying for me. My back is totally healed." Now, I'm thankful that she didn't feel like she had to. She didn't owe me that. Praise God. I don't need that validation in my life. This is God that gets all the glory for it. But my goodness, she just received it so quickly, so naturally. I didn't feel, like power going out of me, like we were both levitating. I prayed a simple prayer, the prayer of faith, and I believe the prayer of faith heals the sick. Praise God. And she was totally healed. And she did that another time, where her intestines were all messed up. They said that she went to the doctor and they said that her intestines were like tied in a knot and she was going to have surgery. And because her intestines were almost like tied in a knot, and they might have to remove some, they might have to whatever. It was kind of a big deal. And so she came for prayer, and I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. Same thing, where she didn't even, how I heard about this one was, so that was like on a Sunday, I prayed for her, and then she was going to have to go in, I don't remember what day, but anyway, she got up at church, and she had a testimony at church on like a Wednesday night, and she said, oh yeah, my intestines were all in a knot, and then the day of the surgery, they did a scan again, and they said, "We don't need to do anything. You're totally fine." Well, you know, it's so funny because she never even bothered to mention these things. She just does it like really very like, oh yeah, here's what happened. And that's exactly how it should be, really. We should, this is the children's bread. It should be so natural and normal. Now, she was a good ground person when it came to healing. Okay, but she wasn't a good ground person when it came to finances. She literally, I mean, she really had a struggle receiving from God financially in any way outside of the little box she had him in. Now, I'm not doing that to you know, be like, you know, judgmental of her. I'm just calling it how it is. It's like, okay, we can be this way, where we can be very good ground in one area and not good ground in another area. And so what we need to realize is, okay, Father, just show me. Show me. He wants me to have flow, have heaven flow in every area of my life, unrestricted, unrestrained. And so that's why it talks about the manifold grace of God. We have a grace flowing into every area. It's a manifold grace. It's many-sided grace of God. And it's flowing through things, through my heart, in unlimited capacity. But my mind has valves on it. So my mind will, you know, limit God, and you know, it's just, we're talking about our heart still, obviously, but our mind is tied to our heart. So it's like here, you know, there's portions of our heart that will say like, oh, well, we receive from him easily this way, but not over here in this area. And so we could have a stony ground in one area and a good soil in another area, or a thorny ground in one area and a wayside soil in another area. I know some people who won't hear anything about certain areas of the kingdom of God. They're just like totally shut off to it. Now, they walk in amazing things in other areas of their life, but they won't hear it when this subject comes up. See, they are a wayside soil in that area. But when it comes to the other areas, they're good ground. Praise God. But now we can be good ground in every area. And so, oh man, I need to wrap this up. We'll get this next time as well. Father, we thank you once again, Lord God, for just, this is your grace doing this. This is your work, Father, and I thank you that we step up to our DNA, and we know, Father God, that your word on the inside of us changes everything, and it also creates an environment for everything around us to change as well. And so we just thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today on Wisdom and Stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to get new updates and check out our podcast page on Podbean to find all our previous posts and full-length messages. We'll see you next time and have a blessed day.